bring you is a presentation of Grace Covenant Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana. I have indeed appreciated the chance to preach for the last 3 weeks, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity and for the grace that you have shown me. I very much appreciated that as well. If you would take your Bibles, and we're going to look at Psalm 122 today. It is another psalm of ascent. We're going to be reading the verses 1 through 9. This is the Word of God. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful that we do have the Scripture before us, that we are not left trying to find truths from other places and from other gods. We thank you, Father, that we have a house to gather in. We thank you, Father, for those that you send this way, that you place in their heart to come up to the house of the Lord this day. Father, we thank you for the joy that comes when our feet are standing within your gates. Father, we thank you that Jerusalem is the city of God, but it is also, Father, the heart of the child of God. And we'd ask you, Father, that you would be with us today, as we indeed have come here to worship your Son, to honor you, and Father, to be learning from the Spirit of God, that we would know more of you as we are gathered here together. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a long trip. It started at the bottom of a mountain. And for some of the people that they joined, it started even out of the country. And as they gathered, they did not gather as individuals on the way up to Jerusalem. They began to gather more and more into a body of believers, a body of worshipers on the way to Jerusalem. For no man stands alone on his way to God's house. And as you think about this, this psalmist is writing this from the position of, from the place of, he is in Jerusalem now. He is top, he's topped the tops of the ridges. He's looked down upon the city, and the group that he's with now, they are actually in the place that they've been looking forward to and singing up. And they're standing within the gates of Jerusalem. And he says, "Oh my Lord, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." And then he realizes, he turns to him, he begins singing again, "Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." As we look at this, we see the pilgrim's pleasure so immediate, don't we? This is something we can all identify with. There's mornings where we come to the house and we barely get here, and it has been a charge to get here. And sometimes it's been discussions that were best forgotten. Sometimes, though, it's been wonderful times. And everyone was ready. And it was one of those mornings where you don't understand it, but the Spirit of God must be in the house. Because, man, we're ready to go, and here we go. And this is the pilgrim's pleasure. Remember, this is a psalm about people who are on a journey, and the same physical happenings that we see described here in the Scripture. It's what's happening in your lives as we're going through our journey here. That's why I recommend to just as many people as I can get to stand in front of me that they need to read Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Because it so parallels all these Psalms of Ascent, and I see that hand. It so parallels what they go through in these Psalms of Ascent as they're praising God and they're looking to that city. Y'all, I laughed at, can you see yon wicket gate? I laughed at that because that sounded funny to me the first time I heard it from a pastor that was preaching. But now that I know what it is, I would love to have been with the pilgrim when that evangelist said, can you see that small, narrow little gate over there? But you know what? The wonderful thing about that here is this is not a small gate they just walked through here. This is a gate to the city of David, the holy city of God. That's the pleasure of the pilgrim because he's enjoyed the fellowship. He's enjoyed the time under the sun walking and realizing that, yes, God is my shade on my right hand. And then going along and then under those stars, though, and just seeing all those up there and not having the arrogance to think that perhaps those things just all were made for me and not even thinking that perhaps they just all came by chance, but instead praising God and acknowledging His Creator because He is the Lord who created heaven and earth. That's the pleasure of the pilgrim. And that's our pleasure as we go through these Psalms. It's a pleasure for the psalmist to be within the gates of Jerusalem. Now, pleasure has got a well-used pleasure, I guess. Whenever you start looking at it from this perspective, there's a restaurant here in town. When you ask them for anything, tea, napkin, another fork maybe, you will be told by every employee in that place, "Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you." And they've said it to us so many times, we wonder, is this something that they say in their sleep? Is this something robotically they've been told or whatever? But the pleasure here is the pleasure of a pilgrim because he is in the place of his God. He has been set aside this place. God has set aside Jerusalem for the pleasure of the pilgrims and for his own glory, the glory of God. He was glad to be there. And now, you know, some of us would say, I know he's glad because it was a long journey. It was hot. It was tiring. It was dangerous. Sometimes you get tired of singing with that dust cake in the back of your throat. And you're not wanting to just, you know, be an old stick in the mud. So you keep going and you keep going and you keep up. You don't want to get lost. You don't want to get left. You don't want stragglers get eaten. You know that, don't you? It's the one that's barely keeping up that gets taken. So it's been a fight to get here all this time, no matter who they are. Good strength. You know, even I think I have this on authority, even pro football players get really tired various points in the game. It may be the game high up in Colorado, but guess what? These people are going high up in Israel while they're getting there. But I found one author, his name is Butler, J.G. Butler. He said, why would they have been glad, truly, to have been in the house of the Lord, to have gone up to Jerusalem like this? And he had four quick points here. He said, one, be glad that, oh, and this is for us, by the way. He's saying this, you know, a lot of this we study, we want to say it, and we've been taught this very well. How did it appear to them? How did the author perceive it? How did he intend it? How was it looked for at that time? Well, we'll just say we know they wanted to look forward to it. We know that they were glad when they got to the temple because we have his word for it. But we, too, are glad to be here this morning. I got to tell you, there's joy in small churches sometimes. When you look around and you see the people that are here, don't ever be discouraged. Because those people are here. We should be glad that we have a place. This is what this author was telling us. That we have the house of the Lord to go to. And to get real serious for just one moment, there are places all over the Middle East where they no longer have a house to go to. I mean, not even a house. They have a refugee camp that they have to share with all the other religions that are there and the things that go on. But be thankful, be glad that you have the house of the Lord which you can go to. David's zeal for God's house. The incident with the removal of the ark to Jerusalem. All these things were going on. They had a place, though, to go to worship God. And we are the same way. We have a place where we can go and we can open the Scriptures and we can ask, what does this mean? One of the things that I love about the way Rudy teaches in the morning is he's going along there and he said, you know, I read that. I heard what he said, but I had to ask myself. I mean, he doesn't question the Scriptures, but what he's doing, he's making us think. And he's making us say, well, you know, what would I have done had I been there myself? And so we can be thankful that they had the place of God. We have a place that God has provided for us here. Second, we can be glad that we have the interest to say, let us go up to the house of the Lord. There's a lot of people that are not even interested in that at all. That's not a statement that appeals to them at all. And I'm talking good people. I'm talking about good people who have been to church most of their life. They seem to just take a vacation. Just like we go out of town for a couple of weeks, they'll take a vacation for a couple of years. And when you invite them, the answer is, well, you know, I haven't been to church in a while. You can be thankful that when you woke up this morning, you said, we're going to church today. And you didn't have to decide because the Spirit of God resides in you and you are wanting to be with the people of God. Third, you can be glad that you are able to come to God's house. You are able to come to God's house. We don't even have to belabor that point because we all know people who have been part of this church who simply aren't able to come. And that's a sad commentary on many churches who have sections of their membership that are not able to come to their churches anymore. And who ministers to them? The Sunday school teacher that taught them for years is not going to because they're still teaching the Sunday school at church. Well, it's my mama, so I'll go see my mama. Or it's my uncle, I'll go see my uncle. But you are able to come here this morning. And those people that you think of right now as I'm saying this, you need to pray for them because they do have people that minister to them often. And if they don't, we need to find that out and be part of that ministry to them ourselves. But you should be thankful that we have a house to come to, that we feel the interest enough to come. Three, that we're able to be in God's house. And four, that you're disposed to come here because you have a way to get here. I wonder how many people are not in church this morning because they don't have a way. I'm just as guilty of it as anybody else. I don't recall offering a ride to anybody. But you know, when I was coming up, we had people who would come by the house and take everybody in our family with their family and we'd all go to church together. Because our vehicle wasn't always as dependable as it should have been. So we all have reasons to be glad to be in the house. They had reasons to be glad in the house. Pilgrims had a place to go. And we must remember to keep the Scriptures that we're reading in context of the time. So where was it they were wanting to go? Let's look at the Scripture here. First of all, in verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. They're glad to be there. But look what they go to here, the second part, the pilgrim's place. This is the description being given by David. This is a psalm of David. And David has always looked to the city of God. He's wanting to build the temple for the Lord. And he's not able to do that. And as we know, his son eventually does. But there's a description of Jerusalem here. Let's look at it in verse 3. It says, Jerusalem, built as a city, that very point alone puts Jerusalem in a different place than many of the cities that were coming up in that area. It was built as a city. I don't know how much you know about what I call Century City. I don't know what they're going to actually name it. But when they get through putting that all together up there on 165 North, that small area, they're going to have everything that a person needs to have in an organized city. Now, I would pray that there's a church going in. I don't know if there is or not. But their idea is to build this and, for all intents and purposes, have all your needs met in your area. Jerusalem was built like that. It wasn't a village that people, they set up camp by the river, or they might have set up camp on the side of the mountain, and then eventually people started coming and they just kind of built toward the valley, and then in the valley they started farming a little bit, and then they put up a store and all these different places. Jerusalem was a city. When David got in there, he wanted to take all the things that were temporary and start making permanent dwellings out of it. If it was a house for God, he wanted a place that when people walked in, they would say, this is what this is. This is a house for God. If he wanted something to do with finance, he wanted them to come in and they would know, these people are serious about what they're doing. Look, they have a place for their finance. They have a place for where their young men study. They have places for things. So that as they come into Jerusalem, it was built as a city bound firmly together to which the tribes go up. The tribes of the Lord. There's a couple of things that they do in the Psalms that is done for emphasis, and one of them is for repetition. When you repeat a phrase, repeat a name, repeat a sentence or something like that, they're trying to emphasize it, just as Jesus did when he said, truly, truly, verily, verily. He was emphasizing it. The psalmist will often use that as an emphasis. That's what's on the back of your outline. Then also, we have something else, though. We have some phrases here Jerusalem, the city, and then go to verse 4, to which the tribes go up, and it gives us a little bit more information about those tribes. They are the tribes of the Lord. And so this is their way of emphasizing, drawing attention to, the idea that this is a people that are connected, and they're connected to the Lord. Now these people, they are, of course, they're the 12 tribes of Judah. But when you see them, did the people at that time say, oh, those are all the Hebrews, we know them? They began to, and by the time this occurs here, by this time they were known as the tribes of Judah, the tribes of Yahweh, the tribes of the Lord. So when they started saying this, this is one of the ways that the author is telling us, that David is telling us, that when this city opens up for the feast, the three feasts each year, for them to come up as they were commanded to in Exodus, that when they open that up, it doesn't just have the locals come through for the feasts. It doesn't have just the people in the valley next door or on the mountain next door. This is one way that the author is saying, when you come out here to this feast, you'll see the tribes. You'll see the tribes of the Lord. These are the people of our God. And they'll be here. And why would they be here? Look at the next line. As was decreed for Israel. God commanded them to go to the feast days. Now, as they worked those out, fleshed those out, they began to have greater meaning and greater meaning. And by the time that this is occurring, the Passover was the major feast day. And as they come to this, I loved it this morning that we were looking at this, and this is what we're preparing for here. We are preparing for our communion meal that the Lord was celebrating immediately prior to his death. Now, as you go through this, you see that the tribes came up. You are our tribes, by the way. The tribes could be said the tribes of Wesley, Knox, Calvin, Henry VIII, whoever. But our tribes are tribes. All the tribes of our church come together, and we are united in the same way that the tribes of Judah were united in the Lord. But when you come, you do remember, as they were gathered together in the Lord, you are gathered here in the name of the Lord. We talk about those big churches out there, those churches out there, but even they are gathered there on the decree of the Lord, because we all share the image of Christ. We all share, if we're just a few in the church or if most of the church is Christian, we share the image of God that has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. And this church, that church, this church, any church that has got God's people in it, that's looked at by the Father here as the tribes going up to Jerusalem. And those people are glad. And those people will be blessed for being there. Because God has decreed that His people will gather together. And why would we do that? To give thanks to the name of the Lord. That's why we gather. We give thanks, we give praise, and we worship. And we've said this before. What are all the various elements of worship? You know, most churches have a worship leader. We've made a point of explaining, to making sure that visitors know, that you know, that we're each of us reminded that each of you are worshipers. Each of you, at one point or another, are leading worship in your family. And at times, and you know that I'm telling the truth here, even in the times where we're doing Bible study, we have young ladies and gentlemen are leading us in worship just by the joy that we receive by hearing them answer the questions, by hearing them give you a catechism answer and then back it up with the scripture. And they're participating in worship when they do that. You're participating in worship when you pray before all of us. You're participating in worship when you bow your head in reverence before God. You're not bowing your head because that man up there was praying. You're not blessing him. You're not honoring him. You're bowing because you are worshiping God. You're being quiet. That whenever the man is going through praying through the scriptures, as we've been discussing here, it's going to be even more worshipful. Because I don't know about you, but I've found myself praying like one of my uncles periodically. I find myself praying like one of my deacons that I grew up under. I sometimes will pray like my dad. And I'm glad that they prayed and they were a role model for me. But we have a better role model, I think, here now. Now this then is the first two stanzas. We have verses 1 and 2 is the first stanza of the hymn, the song. We have 3, 4, and 5 is stanza 2. And then the third stanza has, if you look here, we have the pilgrim's pleasure, the pilgrim's place. The third one is the pilgrim's prayer. Let's look at that right there. We're going to just, there are calls here for prayer. And they're not just saying pray for us. What happens whenever you ask somebody to pray for you? Sure, I will. The psalmist, he's not content with just saying pray for us. He says, first of all, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, the name means peace, possessor of peace. The name of the preceding city was Salem, which also meant peace. And so by praying for the peace of Israel, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, we are also praying from our end of the spiritual spectrum, from this end of the covenant here on this side of the cross, we're praying for the peace of Christ. Now, there's another reason why we can be glad to come into these gates in our time and be thankful. They prayed to Yahweh. They meant it. They were engaged in worship. They were engaged in what they knew in the types and shadows that was part of their worship. But the peace that they had was about a year long. When they came to their sacrificial atonement, that meant they were covered for a year. That's all. And it wasn't even the year coming up, it's the year that's passed. When you come here and when you're in any church, when you're gathered together with the body of Christ, you are meeting with the very presence of the peace of God, because Christ Himself is our peace. And whenever the Scripture tells us that you are bought with a price, and for that reason, you are yourself a temple of God. You are the You're the purveyor of the peace of God. So when he prays here, he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You could look at Jerusalem as the church. You could look at the Jerusalem as the body of Christ. You could look at Jerusalem as the city where we live. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem is a directive from God through this scripture to us from these nice psalms that everybody agrees they're nice, but they have directives for you. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem means you are the peace of the Jerusalem where you are. As we come here, if we just stay here another year and all we can say is we were here for another year, we have not accomplished what God has set us to accomplish. Now the numbers, I'm not talking about the numbers. I'm talking about when you look back, how has your year gone? How we've been here almost a year, folks. Do you realize that? We were talking about this Friday night. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What have you done personally to minister peace? I find in my own life, that's one of the areas where I have the greatest difficulty. Those of you that know me particularly, peace is not really one of my virtues. Contentment is not one of my virtues. And I have to constantly ask God to forgive me for just, I want it all, I want it now, and I want it because they got it. All those things would go through my mind before I realize I've even thought it. And where there's no peace, we can't minister to other people, can we? But through Christ, which in prayer, when we're praying through these psalms, which you can also pray through Sermon on the Mount, you could pray through every scripture, and you'll find out how you do that too. But praying through the scriptures for the peace of Jerusalem, they were actually doing that already because they were singing these. They were singing them to each other. They would look at each other, you know, and they would sing. This side would sing, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And maybe the next time, the adults would say, I was glad when they said unto me. And the kids would say, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then they would all sing, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's a lot more peace in singing the scriptures than there is in many other things that I bother reading and being a part of during my day. And when you come to the house of the Lord, one of our reminders is that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And from this side of the cross, that peace is that our friends, our neighbors, our peers, our co-workers, our co-walkers. When you get to my age, there's people you get to know because you just seem to walk at the same time. But even with those, the person that's always coming by, driving past, and for some reason or other, y'all seem to both be driving out. The very fact that you wave could be the one thing that makes that man's day or that lady's day. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The second line that he wants to say, may they be secure who love you. Now we see something else here that the psalmists do, and that is they personalize, they personify inanimate objects. Whenever you look at this, the you, that's Jerusalem. When they talk about your, in the next line, your walls, next line, your towers, next line, peace within you. Last line, I will seek your good. It's just something to kind of get you to in the flow of it, to be more open to what they're talking about. We do the same thing with our cars. A shotgun. I don't know why we call a shotgun a her, but we do. And if there's a reason that we need to know, I don't want to know it. But men particularly, yeah, that's a good old car. She'll get me where I'm going. Psalmists are doing that very same thing as they say, you, her. him, it. They don't want to use it. They want to personify it. So as we say, may they be secure who love you. Their prayer is the same as ours. We are the security through Christ for people that don't know Christ. Christ is actually using you. Using is probably not the right word. But through the Holy Spirit of God, He is blessing your neighborhood because you're there. The very fact that you're there. The very fact that where you are whenever you're going about during the day. Peace within your walls. He prayed for the peace of Jerusalem. He also prayed for their peace within their walls. Jerusalem had three different walls. If they got past the first one, they'd have to go past the second one. If they got past the second one, they'd have to go past the third one. I want to tell you, that's a unique arrangement. We used to live across the street from a lady. She was an older widow. And you never went to see her after 8 o'clock. Because she was never going to hear you. Because what she would do is she would start at the front door and bolt it. And then to the end of that room and bolt it. And then as you go down the hall, bolt it. And then she'd get to her room and she would bolt it. She was completely and fully actually secure. But you know, as much as they want to depend on the security of something like that, what was the lesson that David learned? You can't depend on chariots. You can't depend on weapons. There's so many issues of insecurity in our own nation right now. And sometimes we'll get caught up in the politicizing of the statements and the politicizing of the people and their position and such. But y'all, our hope doesn't rest on who's elected. Our hope of security doesn't rest on whether or not we're going to be able to carry arms. Our hope is going to be fixed on Jesus Christ. I bet you David carried his spear when he went somewhere. But he didn't rely on his strong right arm. He depended instead on the strong right arm of God. As the psalmist is speaking here, he's saying, may the peace of Jerusalem be yours. May the security of Jerusalem be yours. May there be peace within your walls and security within your towers. I was reading Josephus, and he described the city further. From the wasn't just the walls. He described the manner in which they have such a large citadel toward the back of the city. They had parapets. They had ramparts. Huge constructions all over the city for defense. Notice they didn't say, well, we're going to just let God take care of us. They did what they needed to do to be responsible men. But what were they depending on? What was their peace? Was their peace in the strong tower? Only if it was, as the psalmist calls him at one time, God who is our strong tower. You have piles of rocks up. Did they depend on the rocks to protect them? Well, yes. But actually, they were depending on the rock to protect them. So he was saying in your prayers, we want you to pray for peace, security. We want you to pray for peace within your walls and your homes. And then there in the last verse, he says, for my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For my brothers in Yahweh, here, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we would say, peace within the city. That's what we would pray for. For the companions, those were his traveling companions. For the traveling companions that came with me to Jerusalem, peace within your walls, Jerusalem. And then the last verse, he's praying for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek the good of Jerusalem. Now, in all these things, I think you should have easily drawn the parallel to what you would have seen had they been Christians. They were certainly reliant on God. They were reliant on their scriptures. They were reliant on their fellowship And they were reliant on the city around them. And we are also at this time. But isn't that something else you can be glad for? You can be glad for on this side of the cross that you know that Christ is the rock, that you know that Christ is truly the stream that the heart pants for, that you know for sure that Christ is your buckler, Christ is your shield, Christ is your Savior. These are things that we can be glad for from this side, because when we read Psalms, we will see Christ all through it. And I wasn't being disrespectful whenever I hope it wasn't taken that way. A few weeks ago, I made a reference to Brother Rusty preaching to us from the Old Testament. I've heard so many people, and I know you have too, just, oh, grind their teeth. Oh, they're teaching on Old Testament this time. And I don't see how we can make it through here. And the way that Brother Rusty got us through there is he showed us where Christ was in the middle of all of that. You can also be glad that when you say, I was glad that they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Because as you learn more of Christ, you learn of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They have types and shadows all through the Old Testament. But on this side of the cross, in the house of God this morning, you can be glad and thankful that you have been saved by the Father in the blood of Christ, regenerated through the Holy Spirit. So that as the peace you pray for is received through the Trinitarian God that you serve. Matthew Henry made, and I'm closing here, Matthew Henry made some observations about Jerusalem. He said it was indeed a beautiful city. It is indeed the city of God's own pleasure and own making. He goes on to say that it's a type of gospel church, which is compacted together in holy love to Christian communion, so that it is all as one city. And there is no pilgrimage that Christians are called to reach that city, but it is the life of a Christian as part of the body of Christ, members of a communion of believers celebrating the sacraments in Christ and preparing daily for our arrival at the New Jerusalem, eternal in the heavens, commissioned and built by God Himself. So, brothers and sisters, be glad this morning that God has called you to worship this day in the house, that your feet are indeed standing within the house of God, but also that you are fixed on the peace of God that is not found in anything that you brought with you except the Spirit of God who lives within you. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this word. You are our keeper. You are our shade on the right hand. You are all, Father, that we can count on to deliver us from all evil. But Father, when you prayed, when you instructed us how you keep our life, that you keep our going out and our coming in, and that it is from this time forth and forevermore, Father, we are so thankful that all these things are because of Christ your Son, the sacrifice on the cross for which we're about to celebrate and to remember now, Father. We ask you to prepare our hearts for this. We're grateful, Lord, that we have the privilege to be in the house of God this morning and able to celebrate this time together. Thank you for the giving of your word. We ask you, Lord, that it would be edifying to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.